This is how it is in the spiritual world, isn't it? Everywhere Krishna is glorified and everywhere Krishna is put in the center. We are very fortunate that we can experience this in our lifetime. I'm very grateful somehow, all the time thinking of the devotees who worked so hard to bring this project to this level. Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu, Pandu Prabhu, all the devotees who really gave their best. So really a great honor to be in such a project. And I mean, maybe you don't notice because you're every day here, and those who are the course there for a few weeks here, but it is so, let me say, so special, you know. There's so many things also going on, seminars, college, temple program, and here our devoted pujari. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. From whom?
Radhika.
Lalita. Wonderful. Rasanath, isn't it? The spiritual world here, isn't it? So many good things are happening here. A few days. I think yesterday I told the devotees from New York, relish every moment before you have to go back into the concrete jungle. No, we can be very grateful, very grateful. I talked to some visitors just to see how they perceive this atmosphere. They said they're really impressed. I told them, did you see the garden already? Did you see the ox cart ride already? Did you feast in the bakery? Did you... So much to see. You must stay at least a week to understand everything. Good. Today I want to continue. Today actually very nice life will come into the Katha. You will learn many things today. So and then over here was something from our rich repertoire. Something else. What? He's the leader of the Gaur Krishna Bhajan. He's telling what to do. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunyati
Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. They met throughout the night because they had found out, these early devotees, that when they chanted the holy name in ecstasy, they did not wish to sleep. You might remember when Arjuna was one day eating in the night, in the evening, his food. He had trained the whole day in archery. A sudden gust of wind came into the tent and blew out the oil lamp. It was pitch dark, but because Arjuna was so hungry, he continued to eat in the darkness. It was not like today where you would switch on the electrical light. The oil lamp was blown out and there was no servant nearby who could light it again. So Arjuna said, who cares, I will continue to eat. And while he ate, he found out that the spoon found its mark in the mouth without light. And from this he concluded, if the spoon find its mark in the darkness, my arrow will also find its target. Let me practice archery even in the light. And therefore he is known in the Gita as Gudakesha, he who conquered sleep, because he was so much happy to do his archery, even in the night. That was so enthusiastic. Do you sometimes have this when the night comes that you feel, oh no, now the most boring activity in my life is waiting for me, and everything in you says, can I not just read another prayer, or maybe make a phone call, or do something which I'm afraid to tell in the public? Eat a pizza or something like this. So boring to go to bed. So the devotees around Gauranga Mahaprabhu also thought, it's too boring to go to bed. Let us do kirtan throughout the night until the morning when the sun rises. What do you think about this project? Well, you eventually might need a spiritual body to do that, because we know from Radhadish Mellows, when we are doing these late night kirtans, after some time we need half a year to bring our mind back by resting. Anyways, so let me tell you something about this excitement, and hopefully it will move into your own life and empower you as well. Yesterday we ended with the unfortunate and sudden departure of Jagannath Mishra. I only wanted to mention it briefly. Lord Chaitanya decided he would go to Gaya to offer oblations for his deceased father. But what this would mean is he would go to some holy tank of water or holy river, and at the moment, is the Ganga flowing in Gaya? Yes, I don't hear. Don't know. But there were some holy tanks of water. You take grains, you offer them during a certain period of the day, and throw them into the holy tank of water, and then these big fishes come. They eat the grains, and by the power of the mantras and the whole religious ceremony, this food gets transported in a subtle way to a planet called Pitri Loka, where the ancestors reside. I think in all cultures, except for Belgium, we have worship of ancestors. In Japan, it is very much prevalent. In China, and of course in India, where you feel, I'm somehow connected to my father, to my grandfather, and I should do something for his benefit. We as devotees do this by chanting. So, but everything changed. There in Gaya, Lord Chaitanya visited one footprint of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu once had come to the earth to finish one particular asura, the Gaya asura. And when he dealt his deadly blow to the powerful demon, he put a lot of weight on his foot, and the foot made an impression in the ground, which you can see even to this day. You can visit the lotus footprint of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Chaitanya sat before the lotus footprint of Lord Vishnu, he thought in his heart, this is the foot of my Lord. And he was totally overwhelmed with ecstatic feelings, so much so that he cried, and it seemed as if the river Ganga came from his, how do you say, from his eyes. I know one mother here who's with us. I remember when her children were very small, and I saw when she saw the little shoes of her children, she was reminded of her child and started to get wet eyes from affection. It's natural that you feel close to someone. If you see anything which reminds you of that person, somehow the person comes in your heart. And when you have a loving heart, a devotional heart, and you see anything which reminds you of your Lord Krishna, then Krishna comes in the heart, and as a result, your eyes are overflowing and you tremble. There are different suttas altogether, 8 ashtasa become powers which swarm over your body and take you. The modern people say you are lost, but the wise people say you are with Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya had this experience, and at that time Ishvara Puri, you remember him from Navadvip maybe, the great soul, came and saw him in that state. When Lord Chaitanya came out of the greatest overwhelming situation and saw him, he said, "My Lord and Master Ishvara Puri, I request you to give me the sacred initiation and deliver me from this world of death. I have noted that everyone here is pursued by the black snake of time, and it's only a matter before we have to die. Please save me with your immortal instructions, which will bring me into the vicinity or closeness of the Lord." Ishvara Puri listened to this, but he did not respond immediately. He thought, this he's so beautiful, he's so learned, he's so qualified, I cannot act in the function of his Guru Maharaj. He is my example. But he thought about the request. And in the evening, he decided to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the place where the Lord was staying. He knocked at Gauranga. So it's Ishvara Puri. Most probably he had given him the impulse in his heart to visit him. And he let him in, and he said, "You have come at a good time. I've just finished my cooking. I just wanted to, it's offered now, I wanted to just eat it, but you are now here. Please, you eat it all." No, you have cooked for yourself. How can I take your food?" But Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Something quickly, look, I can prepare again quickly something. You please take. Under no circumstance. At least you take half of the meal and I take the other half." "No, you must take all of it." So who can say no to Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Not possible. He's the Lord. We are his servants. While Ishvara Puri ate, Lakshmi Devi personally came into the kitchen and cooked a second time. Cook means she prepared preparations, like rice and other preparations. Maybe that much she knows. And there, Lord Chaitanya said, "You please give me initiation." And then Ishvara Puri heard this the second time, and he decided to give this most qualified person initiation in the Gopal mantra. I cannot tell you the mantra, it is very secret, but it is known to also in our movement. When we receive second initiation, one of the mantras which we receive is the Gopal mantra. It's very beautiful. When Lord Chaitanya, when a modern devotee hears it, he has to read it from the sheet of paper. But Lord Chaitanya committed it, of course, immediately to memory. And when he chanted it, my dear devotees, he saw Vrindavan Dham.
revealing itself in his heart, and he immediately wanted to go there and meet Krishna. He was very enthusiastic. In the night he got up and started to walk through the deserted streets of Gaya, and then went into the forest and was heading towards Vrindavan. But the powerful demigods, they saw the determination of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who said, don't go to Vrindavan just now. Go later. Now you should start the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name in all earnestness. When Lord Chaitanya heard this Akasha Vani, then he said, I have to do it. Imagine you sleep in the morning, you don't, and all of a sudden you hear a voice in your room, get up now, quickly go to the Mangal Arati. Such difficult, it was in my mind. But then you hear it again, get up immediately, it is time for you to greet Gopinath. Then you would say, but it's not my habit to get up so early. Imagine you would hear a third time the voice, go now, it is necessary. We are telling you this. And then you would go through the darkness, and again you would hear the Akashvani. You would be compelled to do what it says. So, but Lord Chaitanya felt also when he said, when the voice said, don't go now to Vrindavan, he said, all right. He went back and he went by the side of the Ganga, the bank of the Ganga, that was the travel route to Navadvipa. And when he arrived in Navadvipa, everyone could see it. The weaver could see it. The conchal salesman who sold conchals could see it. The sabjiwala could see it. Means the people who sell vegetables on the market. The banana dealer could see it. The perfume vendor could see it. He was no longer the same person who had left Navadvipa. The way they could see it is he moved differently. His eyes were full of tears, although there was no external reason for it. He sighed. Ooh, what is it called? Sighed? He sighed. What is the rasana? You do not know of English. He sighed. How do you say? He sighed.
He sighed.
What?
He was singing. Or he
No. And you go like, oh, Allah.
Sighed.
He sighed. Do the English word. Please make note of it. Oh. As if the greatest of miseries had happened to him. When his relatives asked him, how did it go? He said, well, it was so good. Everything was done. The ceremonies were completed in good style. Journey, mission completed, and so on. But everyone knew he was not telling about what was going on in his heart. Only when the last people had gone, there were a few Vaishnavas, one was Srivas Pandit, he said, tomorrow I will go to the house of Shukrambara at the bank of the Ganga, and I will tell you what is in my heart. So Srivas took that information and he distributed it very clearly. Who knows how Srivas distributed the information amongst the Vaishnava? SMS?
No. Thank you.
transcendent knows.
When they came to pick flowers?
In the morning, the Rasanath knows is our Rasanath. In the morning, they came, the Vaishnavas congregated or came all into the house of Srivas Pandi, because there was this Kripa, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, or someone says, it had descended from the spiritual world. It was a spiritual tree with these beautiful, very fragrant Malati flowers, and they used these flowers for worshipping their Shilas and their deities. So they came all, and Srivas Thakur got them all there, and he said, I think Nimai Pandit becomes a devotee. And then he said something else. May our family increase. What? Everyone said. No, well, he came back differently. Have you not heard the news? He's crying and he's sighing. And he says, alas, my lord, and such things. He never said this. And he said, if you want to know what happened, you must come to the house of Srila Bhagoswami. He comes, not Srila Bhagoswami, Srila Brahmachari. He comes in the evening, in the noon afternoon, he comes. Let us all assemble and hear directly from his own lips what happened. Oh, let's do this, then the Vaishnavas. So they came to the house of Srila Maharaj. It was an extremely simple house. Sometimes this may not be portrayed accurately in the paintings. It was really a house made from the most simplest of materials, which we have for free. Sticks, which he had found, most probably driftwood, and then some straw, and that was all. He kept a few things in there, a clay container for getting water from the Ganga, for his household activities, you know, of cleaning, a jaru, a broom, which was there, very simple. And there was some type of a pillar, which was not really anchored in the floor. It was just standing there, almost like a theater prop. So all the Vaishnavas came to that house. They sat in the shade. And one devotee also came. He preferred to be anonymous, but I can tell you the name. It was Gadadha, who snuck in through another direction, because he was felt attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this Nimai Pandit, the scholar, was too much for Gadadha. He would always irritate him and joke with him and make him look bad. So a little arrogant, but he felt his heart was going only to Nimai Pandit. So everyone came and waited. After some time, they heard loud wailing down the path. Then they heard the chanting, Govinda, Govinda, Ram. It was really like really intense, you know, really ecstatic. Should I try to imitate it? Maybe not. That is out of taste. It was very, very loud and very, very sad. Crying, so much crying. Then they went and they saw down the road in the distance a figure whose hair was all over the place. He looked like a madman. He was crying and he was walking not in a straight beeline, but zigzag, lost his control, and often he fell. He was by now totally dirty from this, you know, he was sweating and he fell in the dust, and he looked like a one possessed by another force. Have you ever seen a ghostly haunted person?
you are inexperienced, young boys and girls, when you see them, it's very difficult to come close because something else is in that person. So this is what they were irritated, and it took so long, and then they saw, wow, this is Nimai Pandit, but look at him. And then Nimai Pandit came after some time, I don't know how long, maybe half an hour, 1 hour it took him to reach, and then he sat down. Everyone was silent. They looked at him with questioning eyes, almost like asking, what happened to you? So Nimai Pandit then said, listen, what so much gives irritation to my heart. I was on my way back from Gaya to Navadvipa. In the midst of the journey, I looked over to the other side of the Ganga and I felt I must go there. Have you ever felt in your life a need to go to some place and you don't know why? You know, if I go there, something very good will happen. I feel like this in relationship to my pilgrimage this year. Last year, a bit too late, I worked on the very hard on the very way, and I did not do a full Kantiprata. This year, I feel I must go to the Dawit. Something pulls me. I know something will happen. And finally, maybe I will become a little bit more Krishna conscious than I am now. This is what I think. I must go this. Something is announcing itself already in the atmosphere. I believe it is Lord Krishna or Srimati Radharani or a divine personality who's calling me. And I think some of you have felt that, I must go. Mostly maybe in relationships you might have, so many of you are grihasthas, and maybe you felt after some time, I can't be a brahmachari, I must go in this direction. You know, some calling was there, and it was right. So in the same way there was a Gauranga said, I felt I must go there. So he crossed the Ganga. And when he climbed out of the water, my dear devotees, you have to really climb because the opposite side, I stayed with Gaurahari for one entire month there. It's really a cliff, you know. And there are holes in the cliff, this big, where crocodiles live. Now, no problem, the crocodiles are not there, but at that time they're there. So he climbed, I climbed out, I went under this tree, and then, and there, he almost couldn't speak. But I saw Krishna, and he was taking his flute to his pursed lips. He was dressed with a garland made of forest flowers. He had a yellow dhoti which flickered like a stream of electricity, like for instance we see in Radhish when the lightning comes, you see stream of electricity, it's really moving. Krishna's dhoti moves all this, he's not standing still, he's Krishna. And I felt so attracted, I thought the Lord of my heart is there. I ran towards him, but as he felt I wanted to embrace him, he retraced his steps and went into the jungle, disappeared. Then I looked, where is he, where is he, where is he? Is he left, is he right, where is he? Then I saw him, I felt a touch on my shoulder when I looked back. That was Krishna. Then I tried to capture him and embrace him, but he could not be caught because he's so chanchala, he's so moving always. I could not caught him. I fell down, and when I fainted, when I woke up, he was gone. Now I only have one question. Where is Krishna? This is the question, no? We think all other questions are important. When is breakfast? When is dinner? Where is my laptop? Now, the real question is in our life, where is Krishna? As Lord Chaitanya described, that he had met Krishna and lost him, he felt really like someone who had gotten a most precious jewel, but upon receiving it, losing it again. You know, the loss is more severe when you have found something and later lost it. For instance, people who have found finally a good friend and then they lost the friend due to some misunderstanding are suffering much more than people who never had a good friend. Or a mother of, let me say, a young man or young woman who have a child, then due to tuberculosis or so, the child leaves the body and dies. It's much more severe, the pain, than if they had no children to begin with. You follow? So Lord Chaitanya's pain was very severe. And he began to cry. And as he cried, his crying was so infectious, my dear devotees, or so influencing that no one could remain sober. All the devotees cried. At that moment, all of a sudden, there was a noise. They looked around and they saw Gadadhara, who had hidden behind that pillar I told you about, which was not stable, had leaned on the pillar and then boom, together they had gone down. It was a loud noise. Bang! You know, really shockingly loud. Gadadhara was lying there crying, "My Lord, my Lord, my Lord." And all the devotees cried, you know, they cried for 6 hours, said Vrindavan Das Thakur. Don't ask me how this is biologically possible. It must be ecstasy. You know, 6 hours. Crying with tears, not without tears, not dry crying, wet crying. Really intense crying. I don't think even our most cryable Mataji. I don't know, in every temple we have usually my Mataji is very expert, but I don't think 6 hours with water, that's unachieved by any human being. So now, Hare Krishna. Then the devotee said something to Lord Chaitanya, something which apparently came out of context. But they said, I've written it down verbatim from Chaitanya Bhagavan. All of us are ready to be led by you in Kirtan. We are scorched by the atheists around us. May the cool water of your love and devotion soothe us all. And with this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's stunning revelation and the devotee's reaction, the mood of Chaitanya Kirtan, Chaitanya's Kirtan, is fixed for all times. There are many Kirtans in India, but the Gaudiya Kirtan is very special. The outstanding feature of the Gaudiya Kirtan, the Kirtans which the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do, is that they chant in the mood of
The Sanskrit word is vipralamba. It means separation. Something which is yearning for something which is not yet attained. Something or someone who's very much at the distance. And by chanting with these feelings of where are you, Krishna? This is the motto, no? This feeling of the unattained Lord. Something happens, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur describes in the purpose to this events. He says, when you chant in this mood, you may be outwardly separated from Krishna, but the Lord who is outwardly in the distance is really in your heart. This mood, when you feel, oh Krishna, oh I am so far away, I am so far away, I am so far away, I am so distant, I am so distracted, my Lord, please, please, where are you in my life? Then somehow the distance which made you sad is overcome by the Lord's presence in your heart. Do you understand this very subtle point? Veni Madhava, is it clear to you? Good. Theoretically, now it must be experienced in the Kirtan. We cannot enter the Kirtan. Well, we can enter the Kirtan mindlessly, and we will get a mind at the end if we stay long enough. But it is better you join the mood of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and you actually express this prayer. Mahaprabhu talked about this in his Shikshastaka. Maybe we can all chant this verse. Ahi nantatanuya kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavanguro kripaya tava pada pankaja sthite dulisadisham vichintaya. Ahi, oh my Lord, Ahi, very personal address, oh my Lord, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death, and I'm drowning now in the turbulent waves. Please come and take me and fix me as one of the pollen of dust at your lotus feet. The idea is the Lord has lotus feet, and in any lotus flower you see these stems which come out, small stems, and they are covered with dust, no? And you shake a flower, some dust comes. So he says, this is my position. I belong to you just like the flower dust belongs to the flower. But I'm now separated. I fell into this terrible ocean of birth and death. You can see the painting there, very first class paintings available in this temple. And now you please pick me up. No, the idea of being picked up is very nicely depicted there. I've also visited today one very nice Grihastha community, and I saw the same idea presented in another painting in their apartment. I can tell you that the number of the apartment, but search and you will find it is there. And yes, this is the idea. Pick me up, I'm separated from you. And that's Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Kirtan. And I think we can understand, because he had met Krishna and he lost him, his feeling was really strong, you know, really. He was not lexi-daisical about it, you know. maybe I want you, maybe not. Like me, you know, he was really with all his emotional fervor, you say in English, he was yearning for the Lord. And they, I do not really know their accounts, which say they immediately did kirtan then and there, but a place needed to be there because it was not safe. They were surrounded by a foreign government who had banned public religious demonstrations. You know, it was you were executed in the public eye if you did something like chanting and dancing in the street also. So they needed a hidden place, a good place. And you know who offered his place? Srivastava. And for that we will always remember him. He was magnanimous. He shared his security, his life thing. His own apartment was a few houses in the courtyard inside. He shared that for the kirtan, and they happened every night. So, it was a real tense time. Outside the wall, there were often demonstrations, you know, stop the kirtan, because the Hindus feared there will be a backlash, a powerful demoniac reaction from the government, and we will suffer along with it. You know, and also, you must know, this type of kirtan was not known at that time. The dancing was not known. No one knew this type of kirtan, this ecstatic kirtan, this loud kirtan. Even the instrumentations came, you know, new forms of these big wompas, the beats which were of the bedanga, and the whole, let us say, ecstatic dimension of the kirtan. It was not known. People thought, what is that? It's almost if you know, let us imagine Radha Deshmelos, we are introducing a new kirtan. Let us say Gaur Krishna comes. He brings trumpets and a band of trumpet bands. And you know, the way this band sings and dance is not back and forth or so on. They have ropes, and they climb ropes to the wall, and then they go on the ropes like this, back and forth. We would think, God, Krishna, you are negatively influenced by your association with Sachinanda's father. This is not done. And the organizers would not invite Gaur Krishna and his band, most probably. That would be severe. Well, the organizer is a friend of Gaur Krishna, so there would be a serious talk, maybe over a pizza. It was not known. It was unknown. And it was very loud. In fact, the neighbors couldn't sleep any longer. It became so loud. And then they would scream in ecstasy. I will spare you the extent, because I'm not so ecstatic by nature, you know, but it was really ecstatic. There was signs of ecstasy. And you know, modern science only 5 years or 6 years ago was able to make a distinction between ecstasy and schizophrenia. You know, it looks the same, but it is fed by an entirely different realization and emotion. So, trouble was soon coming. And I will look at the wristwatch now. What is it? Sorry. I think we will chant a little and then I will finish this. What is our melody? Yeah, okay. I would like you now to go in your mind to the heart of Srivas, of Shukla Bala, and see in your mind's eyes the golden avatar, the Lord of Love, coming close to reveal his mind to his dear devotees.
Oh,
Krishna. There is a poem by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur where he expresses in poetical ways about Lord Chaitanya's return from Gaya. And I hope really that won't be so easy to find it. Oh, this looks no. Oh, my dear devotees, I want to tell you, I thank you so much that you're here listen to me, because you can see here in my notebook I have so much nectar, but I never find an opportunity to share it. But now I have you, and you have me by some strike of good fortune. Yeah, here. And I can share this. I found it. It was it is one person who had seen Lord Chaitanya on the road returning from Gaya. He saw him, how he was a changed person. He ran to Gadadhar and he told him, "Oh Gadadhar, I saw the most extraordinary person on the road to Gaya. He came from that direction. His form was very handsome, and he roared just like a thundercloud." I think we don't have this in our movement, where there is a real roaring. It sometimes happens in Kirtan, and I know the wife of Rasanath was roaring sometimes in Kirtan, very loudly and ecstatically. His eyes rained tears, as if they had become rain clouds, and he rolled about on the ground. His voice choked up in the ecstasy of love of God. All glories to the Lord, the Son of Sachi. What kind of extraordinary state has he attained? Although he is the leader of the scholar, he no longer delights in study. When he holds class, surrounded by his pupils, if he hears the sound, "Hari, Hari," he begins to tremble. All glories to the Lord, the Son of Sachidevi. Once during class, Lord Chaitanya interrupted a pupil and asked, "What are you saying?" Instead of these boring verbs, "You should constantly repeat the name of Krishna, the most famous of all words according to the Vedas. Oh student, without Krishna, what is the benefit of the verbs which you recite?" We were talking, now I'm getting carried away. And another time we will hear more. Yeah. Believe it or not, this is a movement of ecstasy. I think it escapes our... Once one of my God brothers was asked, "What would it feel like if we are Krishna conscious? What would be the experience of the feeling in the heart?" It's a good question, isn't it? And I think he answered very nicely. He's a Swami, Venerable Swami. He said, "You would be overwhelmed with love." That's how you would feel. Have you ever been overwhelmed with maybe with fear sometimes. It takes possession of you, an overwhelming feeling. Overwhelmed with love. You are no longer in control. That which is exerting its influence upon you and has overwhelmed you thus is moving you. Like the Bhagavatam, the gopis are compared with leaves, and Krishna's flute song, which they hear, is compared with a storm which picks up the leaves and lets them dance and dance and move around in circles. That's an overwhelming situation. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that this feeling of becoming overwhelmed can happen during kirtan, and I think the beginning stages can be also felt at the beginning, that when you are in kirtan and you surrender yourself to the kirtan, then sometimes we feel more Krishna conscious than before. That is overwhelming us. Krishna. Let me ask again the time for Krishna. I forgot. Yeah, that's a good time to stop. Tomorrow we will continue, we will hear, it will be quite intense tomorrow because we will hear the reaction of the government, how they try to crush down on Lord Chaitanya's movement, how the Lord responded in a very unexpected way, and what transpired. And we will also hear about what happened in this forest of banana trees, what really happened there, not the rumors, because after this something happened in the forest of banana trees. You have to know about this. Good. Should we stop? There's an authority question. Who would say, yes, stop now, we can leave it, you know. It's not polite to say it, but no, I think we should stop and get ready. It's the time. Yeah. We will request God Krishna to sing this evening. Request. Good. Hare Krishna. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.